Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Church by the Glades, how we doing today? Can somebody make some noise for Jesus in this place? Oh my gosh, make some noise for the worship team, man. Wasn't that phenomenal? My goodness. For those that may not know who I am, my name is Pastor Charlie Hughes. I have the privilege of leading the young adult movement here at Church by the Glades called Rally. Are there any young adults in the room tonight? Anybody? A few of you. If you're here and you're between the ages of 18 to 30, I want to invite you right now to come rally with us this upcoming Friday. God's been doing something really special in the life of the young adult movement of this church. We saw nearly 800 young adults come rally with us last month. And I'm believing that this upcoming Friday, when we rally together at First Baptist in the heart of downtown, man, we're gonna see just as many, if not more, young adults come to worship King Jesus with us. I've got a word on my heart that I can't wait to preach, a different word from the word that I'm getting ready to preach right now. And then we're also going to have an after party following the service that's going to have not only free food, hello, but live wrestlers performing, like WWE-style professional wrestlers who are going to be jumping off the top rope and dropping people's elbows. Like, it's going to be crazy. So once again, if you're a young adult, I want to invite you to come join us. Bring somebody with you, because at Rally, there's always room for one more. Make some noise if you're thankful for what God is doing at Rally. If you don't know, we are currently in a teaching series here at Church by the Glades entitled Fearless Family. And the purpose of this series is to help you in a healthy way navigate the relationships in your household. And when I heard that we'd be doing this series, I personally was very excited because I thought it meant that I'd be getting a break. No, I'm not a husband, I'm not a dad. So naturally, I kind of assumed that my dad, Pastor David, and Pastor Nick, who's a dad and a husband as well, would kind of tag team this series. Maybe Scott Williams would fly in and do a week of it, and I'd kind of get to chill on my sidelines and just get to cheer them on. But sometime a few weeks ago, my dad informed me that I would be preaching during this series. And a little confused and nervous, I went to him and said, "Dad, I'm child and wifeless. I live in your house. I think you know this. What am I supposed to talk about in a series about family?" To which my dad responded, "I kid you not, why don't you preach about honoring your father and mother?" So that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna have a conversation about honor. I'm gonna preach about honor, but if I had to guess, this sermon about honor is going to be different from any other you've heard before. Because I'm not gonna preach this sermon today from the perspective of someone in authority, but from the perspective of someone under authority. I'm not here to preach today as a dad or as a boss, but as a son and as an employee to the same person. The principles of honor are transferable to any relationship. They are not exclusive to that of a relationship between a child and a parent or a boss and an employee, but the principles of honor are definitely especially useful and helpful in the context of a relationship that has some kind of power or authority dynamic at play. So I want to make something abundantly clear as we start this conversation so that way there is no room for confusion. Honor is not a one-way street. Honor is to be shown radically, generously, and continually by both people in authority to those under authority, as well as by those under authority to those in authority. Honor is not to be manipulated as a weapon to cause people to serve our agendas. No, honor is to be used as a tool of worship to accomplish God's agenda. Honor does not have to be viewed as a bad thing. Honor can actually be considered a beautiful thing because honor is in fact a biblical thing. And I believe that if applied to your life correctly, honor could change your life completely. The title of this sermon is Making Honor Easier. But maybe you're here and you hear me use the word honor, and unless you spend a lot of time in a courtroom for whatever reason, The word honor is probably not a word that you use or hear used very often. So I get that you may be a little confused as to what I'm talking about when I say we need to honor one another and specifically the people of authority in our lives. So for the sake of this sermon, you need to understand that I'm using the word honor as how Exodus chapter 20 verse 12 uses the word honor when it tells you and I to honor our father and mother. And the way the word honor is used in this verse is actually very consistent with how the rest of the Bible uses the word honor when describing how you and I should treat any person of authority that we have relationship. But maybe you hear me say that and you're like, thanks, Charlie, but that was kind of obvious. I kind of understood that. Maybe you're a little confused about what I was confused about. See, what I want to know is, what is honor? What does honor look like practically? What do I need to do to honor in order to honor others the way the Bible wants me to? Hopefully this helps. Oftentimes, the best commentary on your Old Testament is your New Testament. So if there's something you come across in the Old Testament that seems unclear or confusing, I would encourage you to go to the New Testament and see if it has anything to say that might make what in the Old Testament you're having a hard time understanding more understandable. And because Jesus is the author of both the Old and the New Testament, it may be especially worth our time today to see if Jesus has anything to say about this Old Testament command for you and I to honor our father and mother. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It's hitting the screens right now. Jesus speaking. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Stick with me real quick. We're going somewhere. You see, this command for you and I to honor our father and mother is the fifth of the famous 10 commandments that God gave Moses in Exodus chapter 20. Not only are the 10 commandments maybe the most famous piece of scripture in all the Old Testament, but they are perhaps the most foundational and fundamental piece of what Jesus refers to in this verse as the law. And Jesus tells you and I that we can make following said law much easier on ourselves if we would just do to others what we'd want them to do for us. So I think it's safe to say that at the very least, a solid working definition and biblical baseline for what honor is and how we are to honor others is this. Honor is to show others the respect we'd want to be shown if we were in their position and they were in ours. Honor is to always be asking and attempting to answer through our actions the question, if the roles were reversed, if I was in their position and if they were in mine, how would I want them to honor me? If I was the parent, how would I want my kid to listen to me? If I was the boss, how would I want my employee to work for me? If I was the teacher, if I was the coach, if I was the cop, how would I want the person under my authority at any given moment to respect me? I don't know the intricacies that go into answering each of these questions fully, but I do know this much. It would not look like a person under authority showing minimal effort. It would not look like delayed obedience. It would not look like always being waiting and to be asked to do what you know is your responsibility to do before you do it. It would not look like wearing a smile on your face when face to face with the person of authority in your life, but then the second they turn their backs, you're saying, I hate them so much. I can't believe they asked me to do that. They're the worst. No. Honor doesn't work like that. Yes, honor is about obedience, but honor is also about attitude. And just to make things fair and equally annoy everybody at Church by the Glades this weekend, honor also doesn't look like a person in authority making the life harder of someone under their authority, even if doing so makes their own life easier. Honor does not look like a person in authority taking advantage of someone under their authority just because they can. Honor doesn't power trip. Honor shows empathy. Honor considers others just as much as it does itself. Jesus instructs us, both those of us in authority and those of us under authority, to honor each other by showing each other the respect we'd want to be shown if we were in their shoes and they were in ours. Which means we're not supposed to honor others based off of the respect we believe they're deserving of. No, we're supposed to honor others based off of the level of respect we believe we're deserving of. Biblically speaking, we're supposed to honor others with the respect we believe we deserve. We're supposed to honor the person in front of us like we're looking in a mirror, honoring the person looking back at us. Because the respect we have for ourselves should reflect in the respect we show others. You missed it. I'm gonna say it again. I worked hard on that. Go crazy this time. The respect we have for ourselves should reflect in the respect we show others. And I don't know anybody who would willingly, knowingly withhold any good thing from themselves. Which is why I can say to you confidently that honor is an all-encompassing, open-ended term for anything any of us can think to do to add value, show love, and express respect to any person in our lives. I actually think the reason why the idea and the concept of honor can seem so hard to define is because this is the way that God intended it. I think this is the way that God wanted it. Because I think God knew that if, as human beings, we could so easily say that honor is this and this, but not this or that, we would then limit honor to what we knew it surely was, and we would never look for any way to honor others beyond what we've been narrowly been told honor is. But instead, so we cannot limit honor or dumb honor down to what we've been narrowly told it is, what we find comfortable, convenient, and in agreement with our preferences, Jesus blows up and broadens the definition of honor by telling you and I that all the law, which newsflash includes its command for you and I to honor others and every single other person of authority in our life, can be summed up in this: whatever you'd want someone to do for you, you do it for them. Let me say it like this. To sum up, to simplify, to streamline what honor is. It's to stop trying to sum up, to simplify and streamline what honor is. And look for every possible way you can to show honor to others, to add value to others' lives, to love others. Because the heart of honor does not look for the easy way out. The heart of honor looks to go all out. Real honor goes beyond the bare minimum. Real honor goes the extra mile. Real honor challenges the status quo. Real honor raises the bar to the near impossible standard that Scripture challenges us with to think about, to cater to consider others, to care for others just as much as we do ourselves. And the only reason why I say that this is a near impossible standard is because if you're anything like me, you think about yourself all the time, and I don't know if there's enough time in the day for me to think about you as much as I think about me. This is how much we are to honor others. God wants honor to become the obsession of our minds and the addiction of our lives. I'm not there yet. I hope to be one day. But again, if you're here and you're anything like me, maybe you hear me say all that and you're like, honor sounds exhausting. I thought the title of this sermon was making honor easier, not making honor harder. I'm more intimidated by the idea of honor now than I was before I even got here. I get it. So in the few minutes we have left together, I want to show you a time in Scripture, not just when Jesus demands that we honor, but he demonstrates how we can honor others. I promise that following Jesus' example will help make honor easier. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41, it reads this. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. Thinking he was still in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. I feel like we just got to pause here for a second. They lost Jesus, people. Like, do you understand how tired Mary and Joseph must have been from this trip to Jerusalem with all their kids for them to lose Jesus? Like, Jesus should have been the kid that they like double checked to make sure was with them on this ride home. Like, if they would have lost James, the brother of Jesus, that would have been one thing. But to lose Jesus? Too far. But you know you messed up as a parent when you lose the Messiah. Because the bad thing about losing Jesus is if you lose Jesus, you don't just lose your kid, you lose God's kid. And I already know that Mary and Joseph were God-fearing, church-going people, so I know that once they realized that they lost Jesus, they must have started praying. But I can only imagine what that prayer sounded like. Like, oh God. Oh, loving, gracious, forgiving, merciful God. You remember that kid you left us with? Yeah, the Messiah, that one. Would you happen to have another one of those? Because we can't find the one you left with us anywhere. Oh, that was your only begotten son. Oh, God. Don't worry, we'll find him. We'll check back in later. So once they realized he was missing, they retraced their steps all the way back to Jerusalem. And verse 46 tells us this. After 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, Jesus, don't you know we've been worried sick? We've been looking for you everywhere. Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. In verse 49, Jesus replied to them saying, why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? I actually think there's a lot of grace in this response from Jesus to his parents. Because Jesus could have easily said to his parents, why are you mad at me? You're the parents, I'm the kid. It's your job to look after me. Why are you so upset with me? You left me in the dangerous big city of Jerusalem for days to fend for myself. You really want to play the blame game right now. But that's not what he said. Instead, and I imagine politely, calmly, with a smile on his face, with innocence in his eyes and honesty in his voice, Jesus said to his parents, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I would be in my father's house? You see, Jesus knew that his parents did not mean to leave him in Jerusalem, so he didn't treat them like they did. But instead, he chose to honor them by showing them the grace he'd want to be shown if somehow he was in their position and he was the one who made the mistake of losing the Messiah. This story reminds me of something I heard on a podcast the other day. This guy I was listening to said, I think sometimes we forget that our parents are going through this thing we call life for the first time also. Translation, I think sometimes we can forget that the people in authority in our lives, whether it be our parents, our bosses, whoever it may be, I think we forget sometimes that they're human beings too. Sure, they may be in a position of power and authority, but this doesn't mean that they're in the position to be perfect and know everything. So when they do eventually, inevitably fall short, prove to be human and not know everything, we shouldn't blame them, shame them, and kick them while they're down because as the person of authority, they should have known and done better. No. But instead, follow the example of preteen Jesus by showing the grace we like to be shown. If we were the ones who messed up, I'm not making an excuse today for intentional, irresponsible, or immoral behavior. But I am saying that biblical honor, honor that warms God's heart, does give well-meaning people the margin to be human and mess up from time to time. Yeah. Honor does not label people by their worst mistakes or their most embarrassing moments. No, honor gives people the benefit of the doubt. Honor says that if you're doing your best, I'll forgive you for not always being the best. Honor gets easier when you stop expecting the people and authority in your life to be perfect and know everything, because this creates the space for sympathy to be shared and for grace to be given. Jesus knew his parents didn't know everything. His parents didn't know where he was when they couldn't find him. And the story even goes on to say that eventually when they did find Jesus, they did not know what Jesus meant by what he said to them. For all we know, Jesus might have went back to Nazareth grounded. But despite all they didn't know, Jesus did not hold this against them. And he went home with them, where he listened to them. And verse 51 actually tells us this. Then Jesus went back home to Nazareth with them, his parents, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man because of it. Maybe the person of authority in your life doesn't know everything. I'd be surprised if they did. But could you at least acknowledge and appreciate today that they know something? Something? Something you can learn from them? Something that can help you grow? Something that can make you better? Something that can make you stronger, something that can make you wiser, something that can make you healthier, whether it be financially, professionally, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I get it. Maybe the person of authority in your life so irritates you, frustrates you, annoys you, gets on your last nerve. You're not even in the headspace right now to even consider that the person of authority in your life can know more or better than you. How about this? At the very least, could I submit to your consideration that they know different than you? As I'm sure you know, we're currently in an election year here in the U.S. And don't worry, I'm not getting political with anything. You can chill out. I would not even consider myself at this point in my life a very politically involved or informed person, but I do kind of get a kick out of this time of year every 4 years, because right about now, the election around the corner, we see both parties doing everything they can to slam the other party's presidential candidate. Like they're doing the best they can to paint the opposing party's guy as the dumbest, the worst, somebody who knows absolutely nothing and is wrong about everything. And I personally find this kind of funny and humoring, because do you know how hard it is to be wrong about everything? Everything? Like, I'll give you this. Maybe the political figure that you disagree with and dislike is wrong about 99% of things. But everything? It's really hard to be wrong about everything. You look mad. I'm gonna make you madder. I think the same is true about the person in authority in your life. Sure, they may not know everything, but you're telling me they don't know something? I get it. They don't know better or more than you, sure. But you're telling me they don't know different than you. There has to be some value in their voice. Because God would not have placed them in a position of authority over you if they completely, totally, entirely, altogether lack the ability to deposit some kind of wisdom in you. Honor gets easier, people, when you choose to believe that the person of authority in your life has the power to make you better. Because if Jesus, who definitely knew more than his mom and dad, knew there is still more he can learn from them, then you best believe there's more that we can learn from the people of authority in our lives. This story of Jesus' parents leaving him in Jerusalem and Jesus responding by choosing to honor and obey them is actually one of the greatest displays of the humanity of Jesus that we see in all the Bible. And not just because we see preteen Jesus have a very real and relatable interaction with his parents, but because of how Jesus chose to honor and obey his parents, he grew. Please put verse 51 and 52 back on the screen for me. Remember, Jesus went back home with his parents. He was obedient to them. And then in verse 52, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man because of this. Growth is a major part of the human experience. If we're doing this living thing right, hopefully from the time we're born to the time we die, we never stop growing. Whether it be mentally, emotionally, spiritually, growth should always be the goal. Jesus was and still is fully God and fully man, meaning Jesus has a perfect divine nature, which literally has no room for improvement. But Jesus also has a genuine human nature, which does have the room and the space and the potential for growth. This is what we see grow in Jesus as a direct result of his decision to honor his parents. Church by the Glades, hear me when I say, God has not placed you under authority just because. God has placed you under authority so that if you choose to honor, you'd get better. I've intentionally waited to the very end of this sermon to share something with you, so that way its power and its truth and its significance may not be lost on you. The verse we read at the beginning of this sermon that told you and I to honor our father and mother is actually the first commandment in all the Bible that comes with a promise. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 reads this in its entirety. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. How amazing is that? From the mouth of God, God promises you and I that how we honor is what he will use and bless to help us grow, get better, and live longer. And I find this especially amazing considering that God could have just told us to honor and left it at that. He could have said, honor thy mother and father, period. End of discussion. But instead, this is how loving our God is, so that we may find honor easier, have extra incentive to obey, and never lose sight of the fact that the authority in our lives has been placed over us by God for our growth. God promises us that if we choose to honor, God would honor that decision by providing for us in ways that we can never provide for ourselves. Confidence in God's promise without commitment to God's process is delusional. Growth does not happen on our terms. Growth happens on God's terms. And God says, if you want to grow, honor. If you want to get better, honor. If you want to live longer, honor. If you want to get stronger, honor. If you want to get smarter, honor. If you want to get wiser, honor. If you want stature, honor. If you want favor, honor. If you want honor, honor. Because if you could just remember that by honoring, God is trying to make you better, then you can honor the authority in your life and do so saying, the honor is all mine. Even King Jesus received additional favor from his heavenly Father because he chose to honor. So if honoring others is too much for you, then receiving favor from God will be impossible for you. Honor gets easier, Church by the Glades, when you remember that God knows best and he wants you to get better. So honor that authority in your life. Honor that parent. Honor that boss. Honor that leader, because God is trying to grow you. God is trying to mature you. God is trying to take you to that next level. Are there any people who understand the importance of honor in this church? The honor is mine. The honor is mine. So who's that person in your life that you need to start honoring better? You might owe them an apology. They may be way overdue for a thank you from you. I don't know what it looks like in your life, but whatever you'd want them to do for you, if you were in their position, that's what you're to start doing for them. It's funny, you know, I spent literal weeks preparing this message. And it wasn't until my dad walked through the door before I started to preach today, that I was like, I didn't even think about honoring my dad. So I just want to say in front of the church you've built, Dad, I honor you. I love you. I appreciate you. Working for you and living under your roof is the greatest blessing of my life. You're my hero, and I just want to honor you in front of your church. Who's the person in your life that needs to hear that from you? I'm telling you, you'll be remembered and endeared because of it. God is trying to make you better. So let's honor. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the authority in each and every single one of our lives that you've placed in our lives. God, I pray, Lord, that we would not lose sight of the power of honor, but that, God, as a result of how we obey this command, we would leave this place and live in your blessing, live in your favor, live in the direct results of our decisions to honor that will, in fact, make our lives better because of it. God, we love you, and we're believing for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.